everybody, and welcome to what I will say a doubly special episode of Messy & Co. With way more than we thought we were going to be talking about when we set this up. First and foremost, we want to say thank you for joining us as always. I'm Ashley here with my co-host, Gian. Plus, we have a very special guest, Xavi Guerrero from Lemon City Live, one of our very good friends and colleagues who we've been lucky enough to learn a lot about him and get to know him. And I consider him to be one of my favorite people that I get to see when I'm at Inter Miami events and matches. And he was kind enough to join us to talk about a bunch of things concerning Inter Miami and global soccer. But before we get into any of that, how are you feeling today, Xavi? Thank you for joining us.
Great,
and then
great.
Gian, how are you feeling?
Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it. Always appreciate the invitation. And it's like a moment. What a moment to be invited, you know, to talk about Inter Miami with all this stuff happening around the
world. Why did something happen?
Yeah. No, it's been crazy. It's been crazy news. I'm doing good. I'm happy Xavi's here. Always, I haven't seen him in a bit in person, so I'm happy to see him here on, even if it's on camera. So it's cool to see you here, Xavi. And I'm doing okay. My team just got bounced out in Champions League. Barca got bounced out, and I strictly
relegated.
I blame first of all Brazil because of Rafinha's injury. I blame VAR. I blame Barca's highline that continues to get us red cards. And I blame Araujo's head that didn't connect on that header at the end. So, but it could be worse. At least my team's not in relegation like yours, actually. So you're right about that.
What? What team is that?
Tottenham. It could be worse, I guess. And then tonight, at least, I hopefully can find a moment of happiness. My team, Liga de Quito, plays in Libertadores. So that's always a good thing.
All right,
but nice. Yeah. Oh, and then the Heat, guys. We're a Miami podcast, so the Heat are in their fourth in a row play-in game. So hopefully,
I know, crazy. Yeah, that'll be fun to talk about. And also, Xavi wearing your U.S. men's national team shirt. We'll try and get to that a little bit at the end because we have hopefully if we have some time. Yeah, Pepto Bismol Guardiola, unfortunately. I am a Spurs fan. You can't choose it. It happens to you. That's where my family's from and my friends, and I live there. And so that's what God unfortunately put on my path. And so, yes, I have to suffer. But it's okay because the other team I have is Inter Miami, and that is a team to be grateful for and a lot of moments to be grateful for. One though, and I can't believe we've made it 3 minutes and 26 seconds without mentioning it. We got to just talk about the biggest news of the day, which is that a bombshell, Javier Mascherano, steps away and leaves Inter Miami head coach, citing personal reasons after only a few months after winning the MLS Cup with Inter Miami, having a lot of highs and a few lows. But after what was kind of a difficult start to the season, we've seen being bounced out of the Champions Cup, having a few draws, some performances where Messi and others aren't happy, announced today that he stepping away effective immediately. And Guillermo Hoyos, who was a sporting director and notably is known as Messi's soccer father, has stepped in and had his first training session today. So before we even get into that, though, what is everyone's first reaction on Mascherano leaving effective immediately?
I mean, surprising, not surprising at the same time. I mean, I think maybe the timing is a bit surprising as far as that it didn't happen sooner or didn't happen later. Didn't happen sooner just because of the fact that he got bounced out of Champions Cup. I think it should have happened sooner, right after that. Fact that even, you know, it passed that moment and they didn't wait until the summer and they did it. I mean, I don't know. I guess I'm trying to see what were they trying to rescue by getting rid of him in this moment without having a coach ready to come in that they were looking for. So just curious about that, but I think it was expected at the end of the day. Look, he won MLS Cup with Inter Miami. I'm one of those that will give him his flowers, but at the same time, I am also realistic and will say that I understand that he found a solution. He found something that worked because of Suarez not playing and not being able to play because of the cards that he received and the suspensions that he received. And I think that opened the floodgates for him. But would he have made that decision should that situation not have presented itself? I don't know. And would we right now be talking about winning an MLS Cup? I don't know. I think that he was stubborn in that moment, but at the end of the day, he got the MLS Cup. But what really did it at the end was missing out on that Champions Cup. I think that at the end of the day was what ruined it for Mascherano. I think that it not only was it something that was a letdown, but I think it was a bit embarrassing for this club more than anything. Embarrassing for front office or Jorge Mas that talked so big about the dreams that they had this season, that they were going to have an even better season than the last season, that the Champions Cup was above everything this season. And then even going as far and beyond and talking about Copa Libertadores and how, you know, they wanted and dreamed of playing in that tournament and then get bounced in the first round. I think that that's really what sealed the fate for Mascherano.
So you're saying you don't believe what his statement was, that he's stepping down for personal reasons, is what I'm hearing. Well, he says he left for personal reasons, just like Tata left for personal reasons, you know, before him. So in a moment also that left us all surprised during the season, the first thing you asked, the first thing that came to my mind when this happened was I was thinking of back in the old telenovelas, Days of Our Lives. It's that the Inter Miami is always a telenovela. Something's happening somewhere. There's news. And this is just like the latest thing that happened. It is a little bit unexpected because I thought personally that he would at least make it towards the end of the season, see they'll play it out. I'm surprised, not shocked. It makes me curious as to what is going on behind the scenes, which has been kept, you know, pretty tight. And we don't know, because it seems now that something's happening behind the scenes, because it's not normal for a guy like Tata to leave. And then, you know, he comes back. Atlanta United, he's not doing great. And now this guy, you know, young guy comes out here. He wins MLS Cup. Yeah, it is a failure because they expected to put this team together and go all out for Champions Cup. That was a big objective for the team, and they failed. But I didn't think that would be enough for him to be sacked. But officially, he stepped down. We're not sure what's happening, and hopefully we can get more information. But I'm going to have to take – right now I have to take the man for his word. He says he stepped down.
Yeah, well, I mean – oh, sorry. Do you want to go ahead, GM?
Yeah, I just wanted to say one thing. Tata Martino left, quote-unquote, left for personal reasons weeks after being eliminated in the first round of the MLS playoffs. The next coach leaves for personal reasons weeks after being eliminated again, the first round, but in this case, the Champions Cup. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to put two and two together and see that there. I mean, if anybody believes it's personal reasons, I mean, we can all come up with personal. I can come up with it. We're all going through stuff in our lives. Yeah. I can pick of 10 reasons why I would leave my job for personal reasons. I mean, I'm not falling for it, is all I'm saying.
I don't know what to tell you, man, because it is a little weird, it's a little bizarre. That personal reasons. What's so hard to say he was fired? The team's sensitive, Beckham sensitive, the Moss brothers, they don't want to fire someone. I don't see why they wouldn't just fire someone. I mean, what happened with oh my goodness, I forgot my Neville, right? He was let go. So I don't see why they wouldn't just.
Do you know why? I'll tell you why. I'll tell you exactly why. It's because these coaches that they've brought on were brought in more than because of the need from a project and a sporting perspective, were brought because of the need.
You're saying the superstar brought them in.
An emotional. There's an emotional attachment. There are feelings there. It's a more of a personal relationship. The Tata Messi, personal relationship. The Mascherano Messi, personal relationship. You bring another coach, like you said, Neville. They fired him, and they would. And if it wasn't Mascherano or Tata, they would have easily said,
So this fired. Is forced to resign. Hey, you know, this is what's going to happen. Either you resign or you go. I don't know. This is another story. There's something in the background here that we need to find out what's going on, because it shouldn't be so difficult to say, hey, we let Tata go. Hey, we let Masha, you know, relationships be damned. You know, people get close in sports, but it's a business. And if they have business reasons to do it, then they should announce it. Right now, like I said, I'm going to just take the man for his word, and we're going to dig into this and see what's going on. Because
Does the Jordi Alba thing have anything to do with this, though? Also, two guys that unexpectedly left. I mean, obviously
what it has to do with this is that the team would have been much better with both of them on the team still. But it's bizarre. Like, it's something that's developing, but it's just bizarre that both cite personal reasons, like you said, and we can use that term. And, you know, and if they get fired, which is what most people see, you know, read between the lines, why not just say it? So there's something more here, and I'm not sure what it is. And, you know, but it's just, it leaves the team right now. It's the team's vulnerable, you know, it's in a vulnerable spot. The first two games in their new stadium, and they can't win. They couldn't beat the Baby Bulls, you know, and they couldn't beat Austin, who was in 10th place. And they didn't look great, you know, against Austin. They looked pretty average. Yeah, at least it looked a little better against New York. But then they just, you know,
terrible
defensive miscue. So it's days of our lives, and we gotta figure out what's happening in the background right now.
Yeah, I agree with Ashir that the team has just regressed too much. This is a good one. As the soccer ball turns, like as the world turns, that's exactly what this team is. That comes with when you have the biggest and the best, you know, you when you win, when you lose, those things, that's like the pluses and minuses to being such a popular team. And look, this is true. We're speculating. In Tata's case, he was away for a whole year taking care of a sick loved one. Yeah, I mean, there's no reason that there's two things can't still be true. I mean, the losing in the first round against Atlanta 2 years ago was a huge disappointment. The CONCACAF Champions Cup, losing this was a huge disappointment. With this, I would even go as far as to say, since that loss, you know, we have not seen enough he looks like he's changed. And look, we've been in the press conferences, Xavi in the press conference after the Austin game in the new stadium, you know, the reporters and everyone was saying multiple times, you're not changing things. Like, the attack is not improving. There's blockages and all these different things. What are you doing? And he kept saying, that's just how football goes. That's just how football goes. Like, it's, you know, et cetera. And I think, you know, fans and maybe even the front staff and the players especially were starting to feel frustrated, because it felt like from a tactical standpoint and from a personnel standpoint, there are some players who weren't, me and Gian were having a discussion last week. Yes, there are players who aren't necessarily living up to what they're hoping to do in certain cases.
A lot of them.
But at the same time, it doesn't outweigh what has been, I think, the wrong choices that we've seen from a coaching standpoint. And when you kind of mix them all together, you get this this big boom where it doesn't work out, and everyone's kind of looking over their shoulders saying, well, what do we do now?
The coach always takes a fall. There's a saying in Spanish, and we can translate it in English. It's easier to get rid of one than 11. Right, you can't get rid of the starting team, but you can get rid of that one coach. I think there's several players so far this season. The season's still young, very young, that have been playing at a much lower level than expected. Several, and that's not his fault, or maybe it is. Practice. Who knows what's going on? But that's beyond his control. I think as far as decision making, he's been about the same that he was last year. I would say not and maybe a little bit better, actually, because I think he has a little more common sense and knowledge in trying to tweak things. So it's still bizarre. It's still weird to me, unexpected, and I don't know. I don't have a real logical reason for it. I just don't think, because of that early exit, that's why he's canned. He could have been canned at that point if there was a plan to fire him. Right, so we're just going to keep, you know, looking into it and see what's happening, because it's a weird scenario. It's a weird situation.
Let me ask you this, and this we can kind of transition. We're not quite done talking about this, and I'm going to start with you, Gian. When I say, though, Guillermo Hoyos, and you said Javi, that this is, seems weird and is coming out of nowhere. I think there's really only one person or player who matters in these situations, if we're being honest, right, in terms of who's moving. And when I say Guillermo Hoyos, he is known to be the his soccer father, said himself by Lionel Messi. And my question is, you know, Mascherano was someone, is someone that Messi still loves, but you could, you can see in the last few games, he goes right out the tunnel when it's full time. He's scoring goals. He's still being great. There is frustration there, a lot of frustration going out of the Champions Cup, a lot of frustration, the body language, we've seen it. And he's committed to, you know, I think at least a couple more years here, knowing of the Leo Messi stand. We have the World Cup in a few months. But I guess my question, Gian, is how much of this do you think was led and decided by Messi? Sort of a, he was fed up with it and ready. Or is this Inter Miami trying to appease Messi? Is this just they wanted to go in a new direction? Mascherano no longer felt like he had the grasp of what he wanted to do. And it kind of, you know, Boss Daddy said it, funny name. There's been no identity and no fight from the players. That's been very clear throughout the season so far. And so those are things that you, you feel like when you lose the locker room, right? That's like an expression you hear a lot in American sports. If you lose the locker room, what is it that kind of put this over the edge?
I think when you think about Messi and where he's at in his career right now, it's just, it's no longer about his opponents right now and who he's facing on a match-to-match basis. It's more about time. I think time is of the essence more than ever in his career. And he's fighting against time. He's fighting against his own body. He's fighting against the decisions that are made around him. And at this point, every decision from the coaching, the players on the pitch, every minute that's played on the field, I think he's living it as if it's the last minutes in the last, you know, games of his career. And when you look at the product on the field, for him, I think he realizes, like, if I'm going to win, whatever's left for me to win, it's now. And I don't have much more time. And he looks at a coach like Mascherano, and I think he had a lot of faith in Mascherano. This is me speaking speculatively, because I don't obviously know what he is, but what he's thinking. But I think that if I was in his position, I would say, look, Mascherano, I brought him in, or at least I gave the okay to bring him in, because I thought that, you know, given our relationship and given the fact that, you know, that he has some coaching experience with the youth team, that he could do something with this team. And he did. He went to MLS Cup. He won it. But I think this season is different. And Messi was going all for it, especially a World Cup year. And that Champions Cup exit, I think, really, really hurt him. And I know that Xavi, you're saying, like, was that maybe enough? I don't know, the Champions Cup exit. I think it's not just the Champions Cup exit, but I think it's also, you look at the product on the field, and while some players aren't playing to their expectations, the product on the field isn't there. And I think that that's what was the most worrying, right? You can tie games, you can maybe not win some games, but at the end of the day, the team didn't look like they had an identity, right? You can see some of the decision-making from Mascherano and see there's no, you can't figure out as an analyst, as somebody that watches games, and figure out what is this team trying to do? Is this player, where are the associations? Who's playing off of who? Who's overlapping with who? Who's making the runs in the middle? Who's doing this? I just thought that team had no identity, and Messi saw that. Mm-hmm. And as much as he loves Mascherano, I think he's thinking about the next year or 2 years. If I'm going to win it, I need a coach that can actually, if I'm going to win Champions Cup, if I'm going to win more trophies, I need a coach that's going to be able to do that. And I think he realized quickly that Mascherano is just not it.
And here, Javi, really quickly before you go, I thought this was a really good comment. Mache had to go, you can't play bad, boring football in your new $1.5 billion stadium. There's a lot of truth to that. It seems like, you know, it's a bit of a overstatement, but with the new stadium opening, you're feeling everything more. And so it's for more ways than one, it's do or die, right? Like you gotta make it worth its weight in gold now.
How much of that goes on the players though? Because I mean, let's say they let's talk a couple of players. Muda, they brought him in, hasn't been great. Ian Frey has not been playing great. Falcón, who was a steady, in my eyes, the line of the defense last year, has not been great. We don't have anybody left back anymore right now, honestly. Reguilón has just come back from injury. Ayala has been whatever. Bright just had a great game last game, but he's been so-so. DePaul has not been fantastic. He played a decent game last game, had a nice assist, but he's been off and on. And for a DP player, he's not playing up to standards. Talking about DP, Berterame has not been up to standards as a DP player. Tadeo Allende was brought back, with good money, and he has not been up to standards. Mateo Silvetti just scored a beautiful goal last game, but he looks like his level has dropped. So, you know, if you're telling me that he's responsible for this, then definitely that's a reason to be canned. If he's directly responsible for the way that they've been playing. But I think there's more responsibility on the player side. So I personally don't, watching the game, don't see why he would be fired at this point. You know, I understand what John said. If Champions Cup was that important, and it was for these ownership, it would have been done right after that, at that point. Why give him two games? Or you gave him what, two games to see what was going to happen? And it was two bad games. Yeah.
Xavi, but look at the players that you're talking about, and when you talk about regressions and players who aren't living up to their expectations. When you said Falcón, which is a player that was already on the team, I can understand that he's regressed a bit, even though I think he's played good. There are moments where you see regression. But then when you talk about players who aren't living up to expectations, those are players that were brought directly in by Mascherano. You're talking about Mura.
Are you Mura's sure? Decision. Are you sure it was him?
He's not 100% sure.
He's not the sporting director. I think there's some players that he did not choose. I think there are some players that he did not choose. And that's why.
Would you say that most of the time the coach is influential in who comes in?
He should be.
So I think that you can think about this too.
We're in a special circumstance with Inter Miami. Like,
no, I understand that.
We mentioned earlier, a certain player has lots of influence on what happens. In all aspects of the team. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but think about that. That can go two ways, what you said. I think a coach should be very influential.
It's the correct thing, right?
But if Mache isn't, then I think that speaks volumes also of not only the club, but of the coach that you have in
last
place.
Year,
coach,
I don't know if you remember. Last season, there was a point where there was that comment, like an off-the-cuff comment that he made about certain players, about things that he wasn't, really, he said it wasn't his responsibility or it wasn't his job. Kind of like letting us know that he wasn't completely involved in these things. I would have to go back, see if I have the tape, but I do remember clearly one of the times that we were there when he was speaking, and he gave us the feeling like, oh, okay, so, you know, what are you trying to say? That is there a disconnect between, you know?
That sounds like a puppet, though, like a títere, like that. If he's not the one making the decisions.
Well, normally in teams, the sporting director is if we're talking about real teams, high level, the sporting director does make the decision and brings in the players, and often the coaches have to, you know, find a way to make it work. It just happened right now with Minnesota, right? The coach, they brought James, and he's saying, this isn't my guy, and he's not even playing him. But I think there's more to this story. There's more to this story than this. And Tata's thing, I know, yes, it was personal reasons. He took care. That's what we were told, and he came back. But it's like you said, the timing, the way things happen, it's a little bizarre. And I just hope it doesn't affect the team moving forward. And we'll see how this guy does. I mean, we haven't talked about him. Now, he was the sporting director. He directly brought a lot of these guys responsible. Now he's going to coach who knows how long. Now he has experience, right? He has experience. We're going to see if there is a difference with this guy coming in. And it's going to be immediate. We're going to see his immediately.
I thought this was a really interesting comment. They might have made the decision after the Champions Cup, meaning just like the actual front office, but didn't want to overshadow the opening of the stadium. You know, it sounds like the tinfoil hat, but
they let them make it to the promised land, and then they got rid of them. Say, okay, look, we're gonna let you make it, but you're not gonna get there to the end.
I don't know. Maybe. I mean, look, I think right now we'll see if things come out in light of this.
Moses didn't make it to the promised land.
Oh, that's true too. That's true. At least Mascherano got a taste.
Macho got a couple games.
He did get a couple games. And let's transition. I mean, look, again, like I said, Guillermo Hoyos, obviously, it's there's no doubt that everyone is thinking something similar. You know, Messi's soccer father. This Messi has been unhappy the last few games. What you know, A plus B, it equals C. What's this new thing going to look like? And time will only tell to see what we see on the field and with the players, et cetera, and if things improve. But we can talk about the last match of the Mache era, which we didn't know at the time, but it happened, was this is a great – sorry, Gion made these. I haven't seen all these banners that he made them, and that's pretty great. New stadium, same old problem. That's brilliant. That deserved to be – good job. Yeah, so we have now had our second game at new stadium. We've gotten to experience it. It's obviously for fans, awesome. The energy is awesome. The facility is awesome. But Inter Miami still can't seem to find a victory. And it's not, you know, up until today, we were like, what is going to change? What is going to happen? Because we haven't seen what we've been wanting to see. Maybe that will change now. But Javi, before we talk about the game a little bit and Berthe's first goal, you were with me at the opening of the new stadium. We were at the ribbon cutting and the first game and everything. What are your thoughts of the stadium? You know, goods and bads, and did it live up to your hype? Is it something that you're excited, you know, to keep enjoying? Press box aside, I'd say.
it's going to be amazing. I mean, we know it's not finished yet, the surroundings, but I look at it as the first piece of the puzzle, the big jewel of that area, because I'm already thinking of everything that's going to come around it, how that's going to be a destination spot for people with the hotels, yep, the recreation, the bars, so many things that are going to be there, including that stadium. So I'm really hyped. The stadium itself is beautiful. What we see inside, you saw it. Yeah, the press box isn't great. It's bigger. It has more levels. But the way we see the game is not the best. You know, the individual glass, I don't know if they're going to go to – I've heard, I mean, there's rumors that they're going to go to the one glass piece. I'm not sure if they will or not, because at least this one you can open and you'll get the feel of the crowd right there. You know, you couldn't get that in the other one. So now that you open it, you hear the crowd. It's really close to you. So it has its pros and cons. But viewing it as from the box isn't the greatest. But the stadium itself is wonderful. The crowd, last these two games at least have been fantastic. You know, the noise, the atmosphere, the players themselves have said it, how they feel it. And unfortunately, it just hasn't been enough to get that first elusive W. But I think it's coming, and now it's not going to be with Mascherano. So, I mean, first thing, the first guy to score a goal is Beto. And so it's an outside guy. And now the first coach that's going to get a W there is not going to be Mash. Who would have, you know, if you were betting and you pick these things, you're amazing.
Beto inaugurated our stadium. That's crazy.
They're going to put a statue.
They are. They're going to name a section after him. It'll be right next to the Messi section, I think. That was sad, unfortunately. Look, this team, new stadium, same old problems. They can't get a win at home. They didn't win in their last home game at Inter Miami CF Stadium, formerly Chase Stadium, against Nashville. They tied 1-1 in that game. And then I'm looking through the games. The only games they've won have been away, which was they got eliminated. But look, I think the biggest problem is this team goes down early. It's what ends up happening. I mean, Beto, again, inaugurated our stadium the fifth minute of the game. Then against New York, we went down in minute 15. And at that point in time, it's always playing from behind. And that, what happened, you see Mascherano, what he used to do. And I was talking about him in the past. It's weird. But always having to make changes at halftime, trying to adjust, which, you know, you typically do adjust. But he would adjust because he's realizing, I think, his original game plan didn't work, and he's trying to come up from behind, and he's throwing all his weapons out there. He's throwing, you're seeing Luis Suarez, Berterame, Silvetti, and Allende all on the pitch at the same time, just, you know, trying to get something.
Big guns, yeah.
All out there. And it's him again playing from behind.
Just throwing two at six, yeah.
And that happened last season, if you remember. I mean, there was a stretch of maybe three or four games where we were getting scored.
The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real, tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
On within the first 5 minutes of the game, and it felt like we finally got past that. And then again, it's
at kind some
of
point in the season. Yeah, it looks like they
together. So, but
it's something that's happened throughout the history of this team for some reason.
Happened in the Drake Callender days. I remember
playing from behind makes you play different.
And the defense always, I mean, we thought there's a big upgrade, you know, this year with the defenders, and you're still having some of these silly mistakes that are continuously made, and you don't understand why. But they have in the past season also this trend of getting better closer towards the end, towards the playoffs, towards when the games matter.
I heard that from the beginning when we were playing what I thought was not good football, and I kept hearing it's early on in the season. It's early on in the season. I said, yeah, it's early on in the season. So is Champions Cup. And it's what ended up happening. And look, I'll say if there was one thing other than obviously the attack lacks tremendously for the names that you've got up front. Again, you talk about Berterame, the Mexican striker with the most goals in Liga MX last season. He paid $15 million for scoring his first goal after, the seventh game or something like that?
It was by mistake. And I'm not trying to play it down. It's like Messi was going. I finally got to see it up close. And Messi's headed, and the defender hits the ball, knocks it out, and it goes perfectly to him. Because he's in at least five or six.
That's still a striker's finish, though. It's poaching. That's what you want.
Exactly. And it's fantastic. And he finished with quality, which is great. He needed that. He needed that, and the team needed that. But five or six times prior during the season, he had open goals, easier plays, and he missed them. So this one fell on his leg.
Hopefully it breaks the dam.
But to have him for his after sake, this many games finally score, and then you have obviously Messi, who is doing his job from an attacking perspective. I've heard some that say they wish he had more assists, but look, I mean, if you're watching the games, he's placing perfect balls, and if they're not scoring them, I mean, what is he going to do?
He can't
assist and score as well. He's got, you know,
he can't be all over.
An assist is only recorded if the player scores it. But then you talk about Tadeo Allende, who broke the league record for most goals in an MLS playoff season, and he's not scoring either. I think the attack, I mean, there's something that is
– He's not, down.
It's part players and it's part strategy, I think, as well.
Obviously.
Yeah, I think it's both. But then to me, the biggest pain point is – on the defensive side there are times where maybe they're caught off out of position, but if you really figured out, most of that is not solely on the defense. It's the team losing possession high up as Noah Allen is high up because being asked to attack, or let's say Ian Frey and the center backs and everybody else gets caught having to rush back because other teams have figured out that the key to play Inter Miami is, as soon as they turn the ball over, because they have so many bodies up front, is do the quick counter, and that's where I think we get ourselves in trouble. Inter Miami finds themselves in a lot of pain because they're having to retroceder, return, and run back on their and they're on their back foot against speedy guys up front on the opposing team. So if we can take care of the ball and not lose the ball carelessly, I think that's going to help a lot.
Well, you know, Gian Mascherano, they've spoken about that. He spoke about that a lot in press conference, and that's their style of play, right? The high line, everybody up, and in the last game where Austin scored their second goal, it was off a corner, right? And instead of crossing it in, they pass it. Telasco passes it in to DePaul. DePaul passes it in to Messi. Messi loses the ball, counter, ends up in a goal. You know, Miami's down. But if you recall the Champions Club World Cup, when Inter Miami, it looked like the chip changed when things happened, when they started playing their best. What were they playing? They were playing against these teams in a conservative manner. They were playing like a low block, and they were countering, and they were more compact, and they were, you know, defending at a higher rate. And we were like, what is this team? You know, what happened? Because before that, they were playing terrible, right? And we were thinking, okay, they're going to get smashed in the Club World Cup. They came in, and from the first game, they played great. They were playing concentrated in a low block, counterattack, had the two guys on the wing, and had Messi just, boom, put balls deep in for them. That changed. It's changed. And they're not playing that way anymore. They're playing the high line. You got, Falcón playing number nine. You got Mikael going all the way up, and they're leaving out of space. So, you know, and then you got the fives. You got Bright sometimes when it was Ayala, or DePaul is like he goes up and he leaves a gap.
Yeah.
You know, and Montecito, his engine needs to get a little bit better. He's
oiled.
A quality player. But the engine's not the same. So there's so many things happening. And if this guy had to take the fall, he took it. But things need to change. And I think one of the things that needs to change is that style of play, the way that they're playing.
Yeah.
They need to teeter it back a little bit and be able to be hybrid. I don't think that you have to play a certain way, though, you know, the whole game, although he has made changes. But I don't think you need to have that high line throughout the whole game. And especially at the beginning, like you said, we're getting scored on, meaning Inter Miami, it's getting scored on early in the first half. That has been the trend. Well, let's try to be a little bit more conservative, play more compact, counter with those speedy guys, and let Messi be Messi. Let Messi put the ball up there for Beterame, for Allende, for Mateo, because all those guys are good players and they're scorers. They're just not having, you know, they're not playing great right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's true. I mean, I think that's a really good way of putting it. I'll come back to this comment because I think it's what we've really been discussing, which is, if most players are underperforming, how can you not question the coach? And it's really like, it feels like a chicken and the egg situation, right? Where you don't know which is the start, which is
what percentage, what percentage fall, because you're a pro player, right? They talk about you don't need the coach to motivate you. You know, a lot of these players, and let's talk Allende. Allende came in, you know, he wasn't part of the team during the preseason, the games and stuff like that. But Beterame came in late because of his work visa. There's a lot of factors, a lot of things going on. So, but ultimately, the coach has to carry the weight for everything. But I think there has to be a little more pressure on the players, too, to perform. They have to perform.
Yeah.
Messi's performing, right? Messi's performing. He always does.
Right.
But he's performing. There's other players that are playing at a good level.
Yeah, okay. Well, so we kind of mentioned it briefly. And before we get on to the next subject, because I want to have a few more big things we want to go through. Just really quickly, do you think that now it's like he's opened his account? Now do we think the $15 million may start to pay off and we're going to start seeing, you know, the floodgates open and scoring? Or do you think it's going to be same old, same old?
Well, the first goal cost us $15 million. So far, I think our ROI is down.
And a coach.
and a coach. Yeah, it cost us $15 million
expensive
and a coach.
Goal.
So far, we're down. But I look, it just reminds me, and I hope it actually ends up being the same. It reminds me a lot of Tadeo Allende last season, where he had that stretch of about 8-9 games where he couldn't score. And, you know, he said, I remember I asked him in the mix zone, and I asked him once he actually scored that goal. And then after that, it's just the floodgates open for him, and he just started scoring and scoring and scoring. And he said that was one of the most difficult times during his career, that he had to go to see a psychologist to mentally help him get through that. And I thought that was very candid. You don't hear too many players talk about that. So I appreciated that from him. And I would assume that for Berterame, he knows how much the team paid for him. He knows how much this team needs him. And I
think that
this one was special. Messi was happy. Everybody was happy for him. And I hope that this is the one that finally opens the floodgates for him as well, just like it did for Tadeo Allende. And look, strikers, they know how to score. That's their one job. They know how to do it. Sometimes everybody hits stretches, and hopefully this is the end of his, and he'll start to, you know, and it'll open up. And I think that hopefully this will create a bit more confidence too with the other players to hit him, get him the ball. He'll start scoring, and that's what he needs. See, if I remember before he started playing, I looked at some of the plays that he would make in Mexico, and a lot of them were him making runs into space and them feeding the ball in. And I think he hasn't seen a lot of those types of plays here at Inter Miami. And hopefully the new coach will help him out too as well. I think they need to scheme a little bit more for him. Coach. Yeah.
Yeah, he mentioned in the mixed zone when they were asking him a question, they asked him about the goal, you know, the celebration. And he said that he went, you know, he hugged the players, obviously, the people involved in the goal and all his teammates. But he went especially to the staff because the staff – since the beginning has been uplifting him, has been positive, have been telling him, and that's, you know, that's the connection where the team, right, the bond between the staff and the players, they know what the players need, and he needed that. He needed that constant, you know, hey, we believe in you. Look, keep believing in yourself, keep going, and hopefully, because he is, he's very fast, he's got a lot of jumps very high, he's got, you know, he's a proven player, he's proven in a tough league like the Mexican league. So it's just been a little bit of bad luck, and some of it has been, you know, mental, the tension, the pressing. Like we said it in one of the games, right, you could tell he was tense, you could tell he presses, and when he's a little tight when he was going to make the plays, and he missed, he saw the goal, it went in, it was actually a pretty decent, pretty good strike, he placed it perfectly where it needed to be. And that can uplift, and that can revive a player, and hopefully it does. And Messi's there. I mean, Messi's giving him balls, and he's been receiving. Now let's see how many go in, because like Gian said, that's what happened with Allende. So, you know, hopefully that's what's going to happen with him. And not the pressure is going to continue, and he's going to have to learn how to deal with it. And that's the expectations of playing at a team like Inter Miami and MLS. They're expected to win everything.
Yeah, true. I will wait to see. And we wish him luck because it makes us happy. Like when he scored, I was happy for him. Yeah. Everyone, the team was happy
good
for
guy.
Him.
Seems like a good guy. Seems like a good guy.
Totally a good guy, totally. Mm-hmm. And alleviates what is now something that we've referenced a few times in this episode. And what was originally what we were going to spend the majority of the time talking about before this news broke about Mache, which is that, you know, Messi's frustration has definitely been showing. Again, like I alluded to earlier, at full time now, this has been multiple matches. He immediately walks down the tunnel, doesn't stay. I mean, he shakes people's hands as he goes off and, you know, is nice and friendly to everyone, but is visibly frustrated and a bit upset, has had, you know, for his standards, I guess you would say things have not gone perfectly to plan. Do we think that this is going to, you know, hopefully be that turning point that we're all, you know, looking to and the decision being made? Was it due to Messi's frustration?
What do you think, Xavi?
Obviously, anything that's happens on the team, that he's going to have some sort of say, because the owners go. I mean, they've mentioned it before. They'll speak with him. They'll get his input on things. You know, they still reserve the right, the power, you know, kind of to make the decisions, supposedly. But he's definitely
allegedly,
but he's definitely involved now. As far as him in this last game, when we asked, I asked. Berterame, I asked him, hey, look, you haven't been too long with the team. I haven't tweeted that. Maybe I'll put it out today. Had it saved there. It's in Spanish. I asked him, hey, you know, you've been playing a short period of time with Messi and with Suarez, you know, two legends, basically. What has your, you know, day-to-day been, and what have you picked up? What have you learned from them? What have, you know, you received from them? And the first thing he said, and it's the same thing I hear over and over from other guys about these guys, he's like, they're never satisfied. They're never satisfied. They're always looking for more. They always want more. And they mean it in practice. They want to win in games. So
like this Michael is, Jordan. So then documentary everyone.
And that's why you have these guys that are GOATs, right? So Messi definitely was upset. Did he have anything to do with it? We're not going to speculate, but we know that he's involved in everything. So now, once again, I'm taking Masha for his word until something proves otherwise, you know, that he left on his own accord. But definitely the guy, Messi, is frustrated. And you can understand because you're expected, the team was expected to be a little stronger. You know, the guys came in, the big name that people were saying all around MLS, the biggest market, you know, summer period, transfer period for a team in the history of MLS. And you got all these big name players coming in and they're not performing. So I would be upset too. If I was him, I'd be upset that people are not carrying with. I wonder if he's upset. What I wish I could ask him if he's upset at his homeboy DePaul, because they're buddies. They're buddies, but he wants to win. So I mean, I would love to.
Well, and you see him talking to everyone on the pitch. You know, when he thinks someone made a mistake or didn't do a pass, or was getting a little
before. Like when DePaul, I know one time with DePaul's bitching everybody out, like he loves to do. Like he told him one time to relax, and like he had to relax. So I mean, Messi's the guy. He's got what six? I think it's six goals now. I believe
he's got six and eight. Yeah, six goals in the last eight matches across all comps.
In his last, and assists, he has an assist or one or two, right? Yes,
I think he has something like that. Yeah.
So you know, if anyone questioning, he doesn't have assists. You just want to be a pain in the ass, to be honest with you, because the guy is 38 years old, and he's playing amazing. He's still doing it. He's out there, and the assists haven't been there because they haven't scored. But that I mean, by himself has missed four like assists. Messi in this last game, the very first one that came in.
Yeah,
you got to just tap it, and it seems easy. I'm not a pro, but it was for a guy of his caliber, a player that can finish like him. It should have been money, and it hasn't been. So you know, Messi, he puts the ball, but he can't, like Gian said, he can't score it. Yeah. If not,
it's just so similar to the idea in this story. I swear, like it really does.
I hope it has the same happy ending where the guy explodes, and then it'd be fantastic for him and Allende to both just blow up at the same time, and Silvetti and all three of these guys just like scoring like animals. And then in a future show, we're like, oh, you see, it was just a matter of time, and for Mascherano to personally, you know. Leave. Let's see. I'm interested. I mean, like days of our lives as the ball turns, whatever you want to call it. It's always much must watch TV with Inter Miami. It's always fascinating. I hope it will always. I hope it will always be
the frustration definitely stems from the lack of scoring. I think the lack of winning for Messi. I think one play in particular comes to mind for me against the Red Bulls when he was rushing upfield and he forced Horvath to make two crazy saves, and then he hits the post, you know, and then in stoppage time, he gets a free kick that was saved also. And then I think you start to see that frustration. And even after the game, he acknowledged after the game that it was just frustrated because they had created so many chances and they just couldn't score. I mean, I was looking right now while you were talking, Xavi, I was looking back at some of these games that we played in against Austin FC. They had 28 shots, and they only scored two goals. In against New York, also that tie last game, they had 16 total shots. I mean, damn, who wouldn't be frustrated, right? If you're shooting 16 to 28 times.
They've outplayed both teams. The first half for Austin, they dominated. After that, Miami did. They pretty much dominated most of the match. And just the counterattacks and the silly mistakes. But they've had control of the match, but they haven't been able to finish. They haven't been able to finish, you know, the goals. And they haven't been able to finish the games. So I can understand his frustration.
It's frustrating. I mean, you know, that game against New York, he leaves directly after the whistle, says nothing to nobody. You can see that frustration even going earlier on into the season, that 3-0 loss against LAFC. When he went into the restricted, he didn't go into the locker room, but there was an area that was close to the locker room. He kind of followed the referees. Luckily, you know, it wasn't anything crazier, but that was also frustration. And I think that all of that stems from the effort is there. There's no lack of effort on these players.
Never.
They're just
never.
Not getting the result that they feel that they that their effort warrants, right? And I think that we can definitely see that frustration. And that frustration goes away when you start winning and when players like Allende and Berterame start scoring. That's where you're going to see this frustration get better.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, look, we'll see. I think we'll see to start with. Just wait until they run into the Burgundy Wave at Empower Field. Look, we'll see. Just that was first.
Be careful what you wait for, Burgundy Wave.
We'll see immediately if we get that. You know, they call it the new coach bounce. If we see any of the attacking improving, and so look, I previously when we had Xavi, when we were having Xavi on, we were going to spend a good portion of the show talking about the World Cup because we love international soccer. You're obviously wearing your U.S. men's national team jersey. I think what I'd like to do, and this is maybe now me making you keep coming to us because we just love speaking to you. I think we should save this for maybe next week or the next time you're available because I really anytime. Want to dive into it. And you know,
I'm there for you anytime.
Things
you guys
always happening with FIFA, and I wanted to give it its time. So yeah, you're going to be coming back on real soon to talk about it. Just to end the show, what I want us to kind of circle back on, and it's the huge news, which is that if you didn't know, Javier Mascherano is no longer the coach of Inter Miami. As of today, he stepped away for personal reasons. We're not sure. Again, we were speculating a little bit. Is that true? Was he sacked?
I actually know the personal reason. Can I state it?
Oh Lord, okay, I want to hear it. I want to hear this.
No, I mean it's not intricate. I'm not going to go into a story here, but the personal reason is that he didn't have a job and he has to go look for another one. So, you know, that's what I think. That was his personal reason. Maybe. He no longer has a job. But look, hey, are we getting Xavi? Are we getting Pep?
What about this? I saw this comment come in.
Pep who?
Alba,
Pep who?
Pep you heard it here.
Oh, no. All jokes aside, I will tell you who I would go for in a heartbeat. And I know
Nancy.
You stole my thunder, bro.
Really? Is that what you're going to say?
You stole my thunder. Yes. Well, he's an MLS ready guy right now. Proven coach. Has won it before. You know, has the pedigree and.
But does he speak a certain language?
He doesn't need to, and because they'll have translators.
He does need to.
But his style of play would be completely different from what Inter Miami's culture has been. Right? He plays a different style, more defensive style. But I would love to see him. Now I don't know if it's going to happen because Oyos is the guy. He has experience, and let's see how he does.
The entire team's going to have to wear Meta AI glasses. I think that translation will work. So,
That's true. Maybe I don't know about Matias Almeida. That's, you know, I've seen that name.
He's been all right. Okay. I mean, he hasn't been great either, but he has more experience. Definitely has more experience. I mean,
maybe Oyos. Who knows? Maybe there isn't supposed to be a new coach. Maybe this is literally the one they think
if he blows up.
Can you shut down Xavi and Pep for me just so I can stop dreaming, though? Are you guys going
to
do that?
I don't see that happening, man.
Okay, good. So I don't have to keep dreaming.
You have more of a chance of Xavi coming back to play. You can play 20, 30 minutes a game.
True. Well, I mean, this has been quite an exciting day for Inter Miami. We've been saying it on these shows, Gian. There's always something happening. It's been an exciting time with the stadium opening, with all the goods and bads of the season. And this absolute bombshell. We're going to see how Inter Miami, how Messi, how everyone goes from here, how the style of play evolves, and just most importantly, what we all want to see, a team on the field playing at a high level and winning games. Here's my question for you. What do you think is going to happen, just to kind of finish this off? How do you think Saturday is going to go? Do you think we're going to get the new manager bounce? Do you think it's going to be kind of set up for a tough game? Or do you think it's just, you know, they're prepping for the next game that's going to be a new stadium. And, you know, this is just going and doing what you can.
It's extra motivation for those guys that, I mean, there's still guys fighting for starting spots here. There's certain, you know, positions that are not set yet. And there's guys still in battles for Xabi Alonso. I don't see that. I don't see that happening. So I think there's extra motivation. I think they're going to come out with a little bit more of a balance, a little bit more of a pep to their step. And I believe that, you know, that it's, I don't think they're going to lose. I don't want a third tie in a row, but I don't see them losing. We got to see though, what, if he's going to make some lineup changes, if he's, what is this guy going to do? Cause he knows the players. So it's just interesting to me right now to see what's going to happen, but I'm going to be optimist and say they're going to go 2-0.
Okay.
And the defense for the first time is going to play fantastic. And St. Clair for the first time is going to look like he's that catching butterflies and that he finally feels at home. You know, play a little more defensive so you can cover for him and he feels comfortable. So I'm going to say 2-0 and let's see what can happen.
Jan?
I don't know. They're playing a mile up. They're playing.
They're a mile high.
Really.
It's a difficult environment for sure.
So I think it's going to be tough from that perspective. I mean, if any of you have ever played in the altitude, like I remember going to Quito, Ecuador, and playing over there with my friends and just gasping for air. And that's
you were out of shape. Yeah. You had already your professional career. Hey. Your professional career had already ended.
It ended before it started. That's clear. You're right. I was out of shape. I was a few pounds more than I should have been, and I didn't train enough for my vacation to Quito. But look, I think that maybe it's a leaf turning, and maybe they take that as motivation, right? A new coach, Hoyos, is not just anybody. He's a guy that's special to Messi, and so hopefully Messi will show out. He's been playing amazing, as we've talked about. But I don't think by any means it's like it's a given that we're going to do really good. It's
going to be tough. Right,
No. The poor form, a new coach, that takes time, a new coach. And again, playing that high up above sea level, like that's just not – that's not just a talking point. It's an actual thing. If you've ever experienced it, it's pretty tough to do. So it'll be, I think it'll be impressive if they win. And hopefully that's kind of it'll be an impressive win, and hopefully it'll spark them into what the next few games will be. So,
all right. So now that you got me hyped up, I'm going to say those 2-0 is a brace for Berte and Messi gives them both assists.
A brace for Berte. Okay, I like
Messi,
that.
Okay.
Berte, you know what?
Berte brace. I'm gonna start writing the title now. Berte brace.
Berte brace. I'll split your brace and I'll give one to Berte and I'll give one to Allende. Those are the two guys that need the goals most this team. So I'm gonna split your brace. It'll be
You're feeling generous.
I'm feeling generous. A 2-1, two goals. Allende.
Miami has been six years in the league. They had Alonso, Neville, Tata, and Mascherano. Cuatro. Am I off? That is
no,
correct.
It's true. Hopefully, this is a
quick turnover, right?
Well, are you taking into consideration interim coaches? I don't know if that counts.
Not really, because Morales, you know, and I think he actually did a decent job. But I'm not. I'm taking the full time guy. You know, not.
I thought
guy
so too. Yeah, and I was actually. You saw that on the press release. Mascherano and all his staff left. Does that include Morales? Even was he considered his staff? That's what I don't know. I wonder.
You're in the show too. Yeah. All over the place. That's a great question because we have. You know, I'm gonna have to find that out because his son is on the squad. He was there before Mache.
Yeah, maybe I don't think he's part of the Mache.
Because he's like a core academy guy, right? He's been coming up the ranks. I think he's one of the favorites.
Well, I was talking about the coach. I was talking about
I'm talking about the coach too. So I'm thinking, you know, they might have kept him, but that's a great question. We're gonna inquire minds want to know. We're gonna have to inquire.
He has survived everything, and the fact he's still on every this, regime, he's still on this team. He's like Tyler Hero on the Heat. He survived the trade talks, the everything. Like he is a survivor, that Morales. So hopefully he is. I like him, and I think he's done a good job as an assistant coach. So.
All All right, great. Well, sort of to wrap it up, I mean, we'll, this is true playing in Bolivia, that's altitude, but Messi and De Paul are very familiar with that at least. So, you know, I'm going to agree with you, Gian. I'm going to say 2-1 Inter Miami, get the goals. Big story playing for your new coach, playing for your teammates, Berta finally scoring. It'll be exciting. And I think this is true to kind of end on is, you know, there's more confidence, at least in the idea that what we've been seeing has been the same over and over and over again. And by hook or by crook on Saturday, we will be seeing something different. We don't know what it is yet, but it'll be something different. And hopefully it'll be something good.
Can't wait. Can't wait.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Xavi, for joining us on this episode. We love having you. Like I said, we're definitely coming back because we got to do a World Cup preview episode. There's so much good things happening in world soccer right now. Big bombshell drop today. Javier Mascherano no longer coach. It's been a really great discussion. Gian, thank you as always for being part of it as well. The chat, you guys have been awesome. There have been so many things to consider and talk about. I feel like we've covered a lot of them, but there's still a lot to go. So make sure you are following us on X at Messi & Co. And we'll be with all these breaking news, updates, game reactions, match reactions, live updates, all that stuff. Make sure you're following. Make sure you're subscribed on YouTube at 5 Reasons Football. Javi, you got anything you want to plug? Please do.
I was just looking at chat here, and did you see the MLS Reddit rumor? He went with the U.S. director to Saudi Arabian national team. Anything spot? Let's see. I mean, that would be fantastic. Follow the money. Run. My personal reason is I'm going to get paid. That's my personal reason.
All right. I wouldn't fault him. That's a great reason.
I hope so.
Get the point if you can. Yeah, it's true. All right. Well, again, thank you all so much for tuning in. Thank you for watching. For this episode of Messi & Co., I'm Ashley. That is Gian, and that is Xavi. And we will see you next time.
Peace.
Peace, guys.